This is Jay Sekulow breaking news. The Supreme Court blocks the president's immigration executive action.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Another major decision out of the court this morning. Shannon Bream is standing by on this, and this one deals with the president's immigration plan and whether or not the ban on implementing that plan will stand. Shannon, what do you know?
This is an unusual one, too. Martha, we have one page. That's it for this opinion. You know why? Because it's a tied decision. It is one of the cases we've been watching to see if the absence of Justice Scalia, who passed away in February, would make a decision, would make a difference. And basically, they say the judgment is affirmed by an equally divided court. So we have a tie. So we go back to the lower court ruling. What the Fifth Circuit did was put the president's immigration actions on hold. The immigration programs, which would have blocked the deportation of millions who are here illegally, those are on hold. So it means basically we're at a stalemate. It's no precedent from the Supreme Court, but the reality of it is it stops the president's attempt to block the deportation of millions of people who are here illegally, leaving the Fifth Circuit's decision in place.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You're absolutely right that there have been significant numbers of deportations. That's true. But what you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law.
In our view, President Obama's actions are unconstitutional. President Obama's actions are unlawful. President Obama's actions violate the separation of powers. And in conclusion, even with sympathy to the cause of immigration reform, impatient presidents may not violate the Constitution if they don't get their way.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, it's a tie vote, a 4-4 vote out of the Supreme Court of the United States on the issue of the president's executive action on immigration reform, as he called it. That was the executive action that changed and would have really given status to almost 45 million people in the United States illegally. A 4-4 decision means that this Fifth Circuit decision blocking the president's law stays in effect. So this is a loss for the Obama administration. They have lost their ability to change the executive by executive action, the laws on immigration. We got involved in this case very early on. I testified before the Senate on this, the House on the issue of immigration reform, about presidents engaging in actions that violate what's called the separation of powers. That is, we have three co-equal branches of government. The legislative branch is the branch that determines whether, in fact, laws are made. The president's job is to faithfully execute those laws, but presidents, or as I said at that hearing, impatient presidents don't get to change the law on their own, which is precisely what was happening. Fan, this is something we've been involved in really since it first happened, and the end result is, not surprisingly, if Justice Scalia had not passed away, it would have been a 5-4, so you would have had a precedent. This doesn't create a precedent, but it does stop the law, so it's a win.
Well, it's a huge victory. It's a huge reprimand for the Obama administration, Jay. And there are going to be a lot of headlines that focus on immigration. And certainly there is a significant immigration impact here. But the most significant impact is one that deals with the separation of powers. Yep. And, Jay, it goes back to the very first set of testimony that you made before the House Judiciary Committee in front of members with a very divergent views on the issue of immigration. You called them to defend their constitutional authority to write the laws in this area. And the decision that was affirmed today, Jay, was a victory for that separation of power. It is a victory for the Congress's authority to write the laws. And it goes back to that very first argument you made. Congress writes the law in this area. The president simply cannot.
Yeah, I made a statement at that hearing that kind of became the thematic on this whole issue. Let me play a shortened version of it, because it really makes a difference when you got to frame the issues early on. Here we were able to frame it before the House Judiciary Committee. So to get the issue up, this was a big issue about, can presidents change the law on their own? The answer is no. It's again no by the Supreme Court. But here's what I close with in that hearing.
Even with sympathy to the cause of immigration reform, impatient presidents may not violate the Constitution if they don't get their way.
And that's it. Impatient presidents don't get to do it. The president's speaking on it now. We'll have some of his words when we come back from the break. All right, we'll take your calls on this. It's a big win, folks. 1-800-684-3110. So will the president try another executive action? That's really the question on immigration. Will he try something else? We'll take your calls on that and other topics as well. 1-800-684-3110. Calls for Loretta Lynch to resign. We're going to be joined later in the broadcast by a congressman that's making that pitch very strong. Loretta Lynch resigning after her Love Is How You Cure Terrorism, How You Deal With Terrorism. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical five-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. 1. Name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2. Fix our broken intelligence. 3. Ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4. Declare war on ISIS. And 5. Unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom, under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, well, if you're just joining us, we've got a decision in the executive action on immigration. The president, none too happy about it. I'm sure we'll get some of his statements up. In fact, they're going to play one for you. Here's what's happened. It's a 4-4 tie, which means the decision of the Fifth Circuit, which stopped the executive action, goes in force. And I said, even if you favored comprehensive immigration reform, and many people do, I favor comprehensive immigration reform, but you don't, presidents don't get to do that on their own. I mean, you got to have that's why you have a Congress. Laws have to be passed. You can't change the law on a signature. You know, that the line, he had a pen and a pen and a phone, and he's going to change the law. It's not the way it works in the United States of America. Fortunately, we have a constitution that has the separation of powers. President Obama's reaction, none too happy, again being told that his actions violated the Constitution. Here's what he said, number 60.
These are students, they're teachers, they're doctors, they're lawyers. They're Americans in every way, but on paper. And fortunately, today's decision does not affect this policy. It does not affect the existing Dreamers.
This is all great, but if they're Americans in every way but on paper, they're not Americans. Because if you've immigrated to the United States like my grandfather did, you get papers that authorize your position in the United States of America. So, yeah, I know the president taught constitutional law, and nothing has changed since the Constitution was written in that regard, but apparently that is not where the president wants to go. We've got calls coming, and let's go right to them. Susan's calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Susan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment on the ruling today and say that President Obama has used his pen in an executive order, basically, to do whatever he wants. It's unconstitutional. And the comment that he just made about these people being Americans in every way, I beg to differ. I was in Southern California recently, and I saw lots of people that were protesting Donald Trump being there who were waving Mexican flags.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You're not an American in every way if you don't have legal status to be in the United States of America. My grandfather immigrated to the United States. He was here legally, but it took him 15 years to get citizenship. So the president's statement to him is just factually incorrect. Now, I'll also tell you this. This was a big rebuke by Congress to the president, too. Dan, let's talk about that for a minute, because this is where the president was trying to overrun Congress, basically.
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, what the president essentially said there is that they're Americans in every way except under the law. That's
right.
What he means by on paper. Under the law, we have rule of law in the United States of America, and in this realm, Congress gets to write the law. And I would just point out two things to the president. First of all, for 2 years after he took office, his party controlled both chambers. They could have rewritten the law with his support if they wanted to. And secondly, Jay, right before this executive order came down, and you have pointed this out many times, a Republican House and a Republican Senate was about to pass comprehensive immigration reform. It just didn't have everything that he wanted. And, Jay, he didn't want to lose political credit, so he jumped the gun,
right,
and he actually quashed that effort to rewrite the law in this regard. So he had two opportunities for the Congress to change this, and he skipped both of them.
The case is United States of America versus Texas. I'm holding in my hand for our audience that's watching us online or on Facebook and Periscope that and watching us on television, that this is the brief we actually filed in the Supreme Court of the United States. Many of you, over 100,000 of you, were members of this brief. The end result is the president's executive action, once again, his executive action is declared not valid, and that's not the first time that's happened. So we've had good success there. Paul Ryan spoke out on this as well, the Speaker of the House. Here's what he had to say.
I want to say a word about the Supreme Court ruling that we just got that halts the president's executive amnesty. This is a win for the Constitution, it's a win for Congress, and it's a win in our fight to restore the separation of powers. Presidents don't write laws, Congress writes laws. This is a case that the House weighed in on because it's fundamental to our system of checks and balances. Congress, not the president, writes our laws. And today, the Supreme Court validated that very core, essential, fundamental principle.
Yeah, so there I will tell you that then the truth is that our initial brief was probably the motivating factor to get Congress involved here.
Yeah, we represented 113 members of Congress, including 88 members of Speaker Ryan's House of Representatives at the Fifth Circuit, Jay. And because of that, the Speaker decided to intervene at the Supreme Court level. And by the way, attorneys for members of Congress actually got time to argue in this case. So like you said at the outset here, it was so important to set this narrative early on. We did it at the House Judiciary Committee. We did it at the early stages of the trial. And quite frankly, that's why Speaker Ryan chose to intervene at the Supreme Court. And ultimately, they carried the day.
This is an interesting comment that they're posting right now. We will have to abide by the Supreme Court's decision until November's election, said President Obama. I want to make sure that's an accurate translation of what he said, that they got it right on the news, and let's pull that sound if it is, because, boy, I will tell you something. Let me break it to you. You have to abide by the Supreme Court's decision past November's election, because you can't do it. The president, he'll have his days in office between the November election. Is he going to try it again? Supreme Court said no. The Fifth Circuit law stands. So, you know, this is a way that he's going to, you know, I think, the president's also saying we need a bipartisan approach to immigration reform. Well, guess what? You had one and you stopped it by jumping the gun. Arthur's calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He's on line four. By the way, if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Hi, Arthur.
Hi.
Yes, sir, you're on.
Okay, my question is, why is President Obama permitted to enact all these executive orders in the first place? Why is there not a mechanism within the government that makes him pass certain
thresholds? Well, there is. There is in the government. So the president has authority to issue executive actions, but those have to be based on existing law. So it's the implementation of existing law. And here's the check. It's the check we did. How do you stop unlawful actions of a president? That's why you have three articles of the Constitution, 1, 2, and 3. Article 3 is the courts. Guess what? Article 3 says, the Supreme Court precedents have said this since Marbury versus Madison, if there's an action that violates the Constitution, the Supreme Court can declare it null and void. That's, in essence, by a 4-4 tie, they reaffirmed the Fifth Circuit decision, and the Fifth Circuit said the president's executive action was unconstitutional, violating separation of powers. So we didn't just, as I said, Arthur, and we say so many times in this broadcast, we didn't just talk about it. We engaged it in the courts, and were successful. And it's then, I think it's important to point to, then we got involved in this really early on. Right when it first happened, we were on top of this case. From the moment the president signed the executive action, we were engaged at the highest levels.
Yeah, that's right. And this is that mechanism to trigger that check and balance. And I would just say, first of all, in this case, yes, very early on, we made the case to members who supported this kind of reform and who opposed it that they needed to stand up for their Article I powers from the very beginning. That was the argument we made. That's the argument that carried the day. And I would also just point out, Jay, there are a couple of other cases very similar where this is the mechanism that has been used to check the president. You talk about the National Labor Relations Board case. You talk about the Obamacare subsidies case. In both situations, that required calling on the Article I branch, the legislature, to stand up to the Article II executive, take it to the Article III courts. And in all of those cases, Jay, We won. The president lost.
Yeah, and I tell you, continuously loses on these. He has not had a success on any executive action he's done in this regard. So I want people to have hope that, you know, we do have a system of government that works here, and this is a great example of how it works. Let's go to Rogers calling from Oregon. Hi, Roger.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey.
Jay, I have a concern here.
Yep.
I've been listening to your program this morning, and I'm pleased with the discussion. I'm also aware of Paul Ryan's comment as well.
Yep.
However, my focus and concern is with the four liberal justices who have ignored their responsibility. I mean, it is so obvious that there was not a separation of powers. I mean, Obama wanted to do what he wanted to do, however he wanted to do it, and they do not recognize that he basically usurped his authority and his power to enact a law.
But we don't know. But to be fair, Roger, we don't know, because this was just a per curiam order. It's a one sentence order. It just says the decision of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is affirmed. The court is divided 4-4, which is an affirmance of the lower court. The Fifth Circuit law stays in effect, and that said there was a violation of separation of power. So in respect to the justices, we don't know who was on which side, and we don't know what there was no dissenting opinions here. Sometimes you have that, no concurring opinions. But the key is the Supreme Court has blocked President Obama's immigration proposal, and that's the key. Steve on Twitter asked a similar question. I said, what about the four justices that thought the president had the authority to do this? Again, we don't know who those four are. We don't know what their positions would be. I would assume that they would have argued, if they were going to issue if they felt strongly about it, they could have issued a dissenting opinion or an opinion. They did not. So it's very hard to say what it is. I will tell you this at the end of the day, and this is the good news. This was a big win for the Constitution. It would have been better if we had five justices on the court and had a full opinion. We don't. That's just not the way it is because of the death of our friend Justice Scalia. But nevertheless, we do have a victory here. Let me say this. We're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Also, we have a petition up about the ISIS and Islamic Jihad. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the broadcast and on tomorrow's broadcast as well. Professor Hutchinson is going to join us again. A little bit later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Congressman Jeff Duncan on the issue of Loretta Lynch saying all you need is love to beat the terrorists. We're going to talk about that, but we've got a petition up at ACLJ.org. Let me encourage you to go there. 48,000 signatures, by the way. We're marching towards 50,000 pretty quick. So ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org to sign that petition. And also, if you want to stand with the ACLJ, again, respond to our newsletters and emails that are coming out. You'll be getting one today as well. We encourage you to get those at ACLJ.org. It's a great way to sign up for those. I will take more of your calls when we come back from the break. Those phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. But a big win here. Supreme Court blocks President Obama's immigration proposal. That's called a victory. Back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical 5-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have 5 key steps to defeat ISIS. ISIS. 1, name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2, fix our broken intelligence. 3, ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4, declare war on ISIS. And 5, unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
So President Obama has a loss of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court blocks his immigration proposal, that executive action. We filed a brief, holding that brief in our hand. This is the brief we filed with the Supreme Court of the United States. And by the way, many of you signed on to this brief. So you wondered, you know, you say to yourself, does it make a difference if we sign a brief to the Supreme Court? Well, in this particular case, in the first round of this, we had members of Congress at the lower courts, which got them also to file a brief at the Supreme Court. And then we had a committee as well. And that committee had hundreds of thousands, I think 132,000 signatures or something close to it. I mean, it was well over 100,000 signatures on that committee. So that was good news. And the court blocked the order. So that means the executive action was stopped. That's the good news. President Obama, though, response to it, very interesting, typical President Obama kind of response. Here's number 61.
We have to follow now what has been ruled on in the Fifth Circuit because the Supreme Court could not resolve the issue. And we're going to have to abide by that ruling until an election and a confirmation of a ninth justice of the Supreme Court so that they can break this tie. Because we've always said that we are going to do what we can lawfully through executive action, but we can't go beyond that.
And then the court said by leaving the Fifth Circuit law in place, by the way, the Fifth Circuit is a federal court of appeals, said president violated the law, violated separation of powers, that immigration bill could not go, or executive action could not go into force. 340,000 of you signed our brief on that, which is, so I had the number off by almost more than half, which is an incredible response. Thank you for allowing us to do this. And listen, I'm in favor of comprehensive immigration reform, but you don't get to do that on your own. That was tried under President Bush. He wanted to get it done. Harry Reid blocked it. Let's not forget where this started. And the president had the House and the Senate for 2 years then and did nothing to get this through.
He had it for 2 years, did not make it a priority, chose Obamacare instead. And, Jay, he also had an opportunity to work with Republicans in Congress who were ready to pass a bill, and he chose instead to go it on his own and really block that legislative effort. And I would just quickly point out, if the Fifth Circuit had ruled for the president and the Supreme Court had affirmed that decision 4-4, just like they affirmed this decision today, the president would not be saying this was unresolved.
Oh,
the president lost today,
right,
and he's saying it's unresolved because he doesn't like the ruling he got.
There's no doubt about that. This is a careful phrasing by the president. All right, we're taking more of your calls as well. Tom's calling from Phoenix, Arizona. He's on line 5. Hi, Tom.
Hi, yeah. So I was asking, I know you kind of answered some of them, but earlier, but how the 4 Supreme Court members could not see it as the rest of us, that it's unconstitutional.
Yeah. Well, here's what I want to say, Tom. Look, we don't know even who those 4 were. So it's speculation. I have guesses on who I think it would be, but who knows? We don't know. What we do know is this. If Justice Scalia was alive, we would have had a 5-4 decision that would have had a substantive discussion on what the law is. Instead, because of his untimely passing, 4-4 tie means the Fifth Circuit law stays in place. The Fifth Circuit law is very clear. President Obama violated the separation of powers. It was executive action overreach. He doesn't get to change the laws on his own. Impatient presidents don't get to just modify which, you know, what laws they like or don't like, and that is it. But it is literally a one-sentence order. The judgment is affirmed by an equally divided court. That's what they do when they do this. Sometimes they can issue concurring opinions or statements. They did not in this particular case. And it's interesting also here that the court and the lower courts rejected all of the theories put forward by the government, and the government lawyers have got themselves in a lot of trouble over this case for some misrepresentations. So this case has had big ramifications, a big loss for the Obama administration, but also tells you Supreme Court appointments really matter, and there is one for sure. David's calling from Oregon. Hi, David. David?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to just follow up. I think it was glossed over, and I'm 100% in agreement with you on this issue. But the condition of the court is my concern. It really doesn't matter who the 4 are. The fact that it was split 4-4 and it wasn't an 8 zero decision,
yeah,
as blatant as the overreach was, is very, very disconcerting.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I'm with you in the sense I don't think this was a close case. I thought this was an easy call. I thought that, the president doesn't think this was a change of law. The president, do we have the bite where the president says, I've changed the law? I mean, I know we played that in the open. I mean, presidents don't get to change. That's a Constitution Law 101. But here's what the president's, the University of Chicago constitutional law professor, this is what he had to say.
You're absolutely right that there have been significant numbers of deportations. That's true. But what you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law. Now.
Oh, and they're clapping and they're applauding, and this is great. The president took an action to change the law. The only problem with that is he has no constitutional authority to do it. And then again, people can be how happy they are about it, but the reality is this was an unconstitutional act of the president, period. And it was also a thumbing in the eye of the United States Congress.
The president tried to play king and legislature all at once. Fortunately, the judicial branch stepped in and prevented that from happening. Listen, I would say, something quickly to the last caller, Tom. Our way of government does have a couple of unique characteristics.
Yep.
One is the co-equal branches of government have to stand up for themselves. That's what happened here. So when you get a win using that form of government, Jay, you take it. And secondly, I would say this. If you're worried about the makeup of the court, as are many of us,
yeah,
elections have consequences. Okay. And both of these candidates should be pressed to the limit about how they will fill that open seat and the ones that will follow it.
I think you're absolutely right. All right, we're going to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines. Our jam. By the way, coming up, we have got Congressman Jeff Duncan joining us. And let me tell you this, that he has taken a very strong action with regard to the situation with Loretta Lynch and her All You Need Is Love campaign on dealing with terrorism. And it's called for her impeachment, basically, or her to resign. We're going to talk to him about that. Congressman Duncan serves the good folks of 3rd District in South Carolina. But I will tell you that we played that yesterday on the broadcast because I was still completely flabbergasted at her statement. Let's go to Kathy, try to take a call before the break here. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Jay. Good morning. I wanted to know if you could elaborate a little bit on the comment that you made about Obama saying that he was going to revisit this in November.
He has to hold on until the election. And then revisit it, and look at the election in the Supreme Court. Well, the election's irrelevant. The president doesn't have the authority to make this exact. He can't do this again. He may try to do it in another way, though. And I think, look, the day after, from November, the date of the election, till the next president's sworn in, that's 71 days, then we're going to have to be on our toes because a lot of things can happen, especially in the Middle East, folks. I've got a whole team dealing with what the president may try to do to Israel and force negotiations.
Yeah, no question about it. The president is hoping to do this in one of two ways. One, he is hoping for that ninth seat on the Supreme Court. That would take some time for it to trickle up and do it. But, Jay, I would especially argue that between the new Congress being sworn in and when the president leaves, about a three-week period, depending on the makeup of Congress, look out. You never know what that Congress would send the president in the waning weeks of his term.
We've got our teams ready, okay? Our teams are ready. But it's going to be a real fight. Hey, folks, we're here for another 30 minutes, and you may only be getting 30 minutes of this broadcast right now. I want to encourage you, if you don't get the full hour, many of you do, but if you don't, go over to ACLJ.org. We've got it on an audio stream. We also got a video stream, a multi-camera shoot. You're actually in the studios with us. You can go over to Facebook and Periscope as well. So there's multiple ways. So we're SiriusXM, and a number of stations carry the full hour. So I'm going to encourage you to stay with us. We've got a lot more ahead, including Congressman Jeff Duncan. And I'll play that bite again from Loretta Lynch because it's still mind-boggling. So a lot more ahead, actually. He tweeted, Congressman Duncan did, Loretta Lynch resigned immediately, and I completely concur. All right, we'll take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. You want to stay with us. Don't forget, sign on to our petition that is up right now to stand against ISIS and get this authorization of war. Back with more in a moment.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Divided court, the president's executive action on immigration, what we call the executive action overreach, is deemed unconstitutional, violation of separation of powers, and the Fifth Circuit opinion, which was a very good opinion, stays in effect. And let me tell you what that means. The president doesn't get to change the laws on his own, period. We're going right back to the phones. Jason is calling from Ohio. But if you're just joining us, that was a Supreme Court decision, 4-4, saying that the president did not have the authority to do what he did with changing the immigration laws. And the Fifth Circuit opinion stays in play. Big loss for the administration here.
You there?
Yes, Jason, you're on.
Yeah, it just makes me mad that he does this, because people like me in this United States of America vote for people in Congress to make laws. He comes in and basically makes his own laws, and it basically says that the American people doesn't even count.
Well, look, he said he was going to. Do we have the? I'm going to use my pen and paper. Let's go find the pen and fun one. I mean, this is one worth playing. I mean, because Stan, that this is, we shouldn't act surprised here. The president said he was going to use his pen and his phone.
He said he was going to use his pen and his phone, but he also said more than 20 times, Jay, that he did not have the authority to do this. And I would just quickly say to the caller, listen, I understand your frustration. There's cause for frustration, but I think today is cause for great hope, because it shows that our system of government works. You've got to be persistent. You've got to engage all of the branches. And by the way, sometimes you have to push that Article 1 branch to actually stand up for their authority too. But today, they did that, Jay, and the Article 3 branch pushed the Article 2 branch back into its proper place. It's a day for optimism.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think all that said, it's a plus. But here's what the do we have it? Yeah, here we go. Here's the president with the pen and the phone.
We are not just going to be waiting for legislation in order to make sure that we're providing Americans the kind of help that they need. I've got a pen and I've got a phone, and I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward. And I've got a phone that allows me to convene Americans from every walk of life.
The battery of the phone has worn out and the pen has run out of ink, is what I will say to that. We're going to go right back to the phones. Let's go to Jeff's calling from Wisconsin on line 2. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jay.
Yes,
I'm a Army veteran, and what concerns me is the fact that how many Americans are out of work, and what the president's were his own words saying that these people, you know, maintain jobs as teachers, doctors, you know, throughout the gamut. You know, they're maintaining jobs, but Americans who are out of work could.
Well, look, I mean, the whole fallacy of this is that the president actually said in that statement, Jeff, that these are Americans in every sense of the word. I'm going to play it again, number 60.
These are students, they're teachers, they're doctors, they're lawyers. They're Americans in every way, but on paper.
Well, then they're not Americans in every way. If it's not on paper, that means they're not here legally. So if you're not here legally, that doesn't count. Can I grab one call in here before a minute and 34 seconds? You think I can? I'm going to try to. Let's go to David really quick from Hawaii. Go ahead, David.
I believe in total quality management. What can we learn through all this about what needs to be done now to improve the process of curbing the executive order effort that Obama does?
Look, or any president trying to overreach would do. I think what we learned from this is you've got to get in there early. And then we really quickly here, David, good question. We had to address it both legislatively and legally.
Well, you've got to engage it early. You've also got to engage it clearly on the issue. At the bottom line, this wasn't about immigration. It was about separation of powers, and it was about getting the offended branch in there early with the proper arguments to stand up for their turf, and that's what they did.
So we testified before Congress as soon as this happened. Then we went to federal court. So that's how you do it in these cases. All right, folks, we're going to come back with more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Congressman Jeff Duncan's going to talk to us about Loretta Lynch and her You Can Solve Terrorism with Love. Get your calls in and comments about that, too. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our petition that's up to defeat ISIS and Islamic Jihad. We have a five-part plan. We'll talk more about that on the broadcast tomorrow. Let me encourage you again to go to ACLJ.org, sign on, and then almost 50,000 signatures as well. So that's a good start. But again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Jeff Duncan, Senator, or Congressman, rather, about coming up with this right when we come back from the break.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical five-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. 1. Name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2. Fix our broken intelligence. 3. Ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4. Declare war on ISIS. And 5. Unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Which means it's a tie, which means the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals decision is in fact affirmed. That means that the president's executive action overreach is in fact unconstitutional. His overreach is a violation of separation of power. So that was a very good decision. And the immigration reform, which again, I'm in favor of immigration reform, but not by presidents doing it on their own. Interesting, Deborah on Facebook said Loretta Lynch needs to be fired now or forced to resign. Well, we're fortunate to have with us right now someone that is being very clear on that position, and that is our friend Congressman Jeff Duncan from South Carolina. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jay. And, you know, honestly, if you truly believe that love is how you fight terrorism, you probably don't need to hold public office.
I am going to play that bite because I played it yesterday, but I could not understate or overstate the absurd nature of the ridiculous comment she made in any context. Here's what she said.
Our most effective response to terror and to hatred is compassion, it's unity, and it's love.
This is, Congressman, absolutely, positively absurd. Because showing compassion to the victims of terror, showing unity to the victims of terror, showing love to the victims of terror, yeah, we all get that. But our most effective response to terror is showing love? I mean, that was a Beatles song from 1968, but that is not a good political philosophy.
That's exactly right. And I think the way to defeat radical Islamic terrorism is to have a strong commander-in-chief who understands that the terrorists want to take away our constitutional rights. They hate the freedoms that we enjoy in this country.
Right.
And what we're watching the Democrats do today, wanting to kick the Fifth Amendment and the Sixth Amendment to the curb so we can water down the Second Amendment. It's playing right into the hands of the terrorists. And we both know that, you know, communist societies, Marxist dictatorships, and Islamic theocratic fundamentalists do not like the freedoms we enjoy, the
right.
constitutional rights that we have, and they want to do everything they can, and they're winning a political war right now with the Democrats as their allies.
Well, here's the thing that's so absurd. They've turned the situation in Orlando, some of your colleagues on the left, congressmen on, and women on the left, into this issue of gun rights, which is, of course, completely absurd because no matter what the gun restrictions were, and I, by the way, with all due respect to the FBI, and I have a lot of respect for the FBI and for James Comey, but, you know, when he keeps saying, you know, we're trying to find a needle in a haystack, and my goodness, they had the needle and the haystack in this case and let it go, that's a whole different story. But this idea that turning this into a debate over gun reform, as if the terrorists will not use another improvised explosive device to do their deed, is, again, this not reality. But what, Congressman, I'm trying to figure out is someone wrote this for Loretta Lynch, or Loretta Lynch wrote this for herself. And if she really believes it, why in the world is she the Attorney General of the United States?
Well, you know, I led an effort in the House to try to encourage our Senate colleagues not to confirm her, and they did. Now they have some culpability in this because she doesn't seem to have the clarity of mind and the understanding of our Constitution and what it takes to be a strong world leader in the fight against radical Islamic terrorism. They would cut her head off if they had the opportunity.
Sure.
We've seen that over and over and over. They're not going to show her any love because they want to end our constitutional rights. You know, they've turned it to gun control because they don't want to talk about the real enemy, which is radical Islamic terrorism. They continue to try to go after our gun rights. Without an understanding, I think, Jay, that our education system in this country has failed us because I see products of our education system on the floor right now talking about the Second Amendment. They don't truly understand the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, the Second Amendment,
yeah.
and why it's in there in the first place. They don't understand that government came after guns in this country one time before, here on American soil.
Right.
It happened in 1775 when the British marched on Concord
right.
and Lexington. And the purpose of that? Was to confiscate the weapons of the colonials that wanted to use those weapons to protect their own liberty.
But, Congressman, I take it even a step deeper here. Put the gun debate aside for a moment. That is, the fact that the Attorney General of the United States, who's our chief law enforcement officer, the one that's in charge of our terror policies from the Department of Justice, believes that love is the answer on how you deal with terrorism, it not only does not understand the enemy, but puts our country in tremendous vulnerability. You look at ISIS, which I now call a jihadist army because that's what they are. It's a jihadist army. They've waged war on the United States. They're continuing to wage war on the United States and other allies of ours around the world. They're not getting weaker. You had testimony from the CIA director, John Brennan, saying that the strategy is not working, that they're stronger. And then you had the AFCOM commander that's being nominated by the president say there is no strategy by the president to defeat ISIS. And these are from the military people that the president's putting forward. So I ask you as a friend and as a member of Congress, what do the American people do here?
Well, hopefully they elect somebody different than Hillary Clinton, who is of the same genre and philosophy of the current administration in November. That is the most important thing we can do, and continue to keep a Republican legislative branch, whether, you know, the Senate. We need to keep the Senate, need to make sure we maintain control of the House so that we can move forward and actually put forward strategy to defeat ISIS and defeat radical Islamic terrorism, the jihad army, as you call it. And I can promise you it won't be with love. It'll be with 500-pound bombs. It will be with sniper rifles. It
right.
will be with swift, deadly, decisive action that shows the world that we're a leader once again, standing up for freedom and liberty that we enjoy. We're going to stand up for the Constitution. We're going to stand up for our allies against aggression, and we're going to put an end to this. And it ends today.
I'm going to play for you, Congressman. President Obama saying, basically calling you and your colleagues using political talking points by calling it radical Islam. But let me say first that I appreciate the stance you're taking on this, but I do want you to respond. This is President Obama just a few days ago.
There's no magic to the phrase radical Islam. It's a political talking point. It's not a strategy. And the reason I am careful about how I describe this threat has nothing to do with political correctness, and everything to do with actually defeating extremism.
Of course, one of the things I say, Congressman, is that naming your enemy is the first way to start defeating the enemy is identifying who they are.
Absolutely. And you look, I've talked about this since 2011 when I was elected. The administration has scrubbed the words of terrorism from the lexicons of the FBI, the Defense Intelligence, the CIA. They don't allow them to talk in real terms. If you can't identify your enemy, you will never defeat your enemy.
Right.
But wait a minute. Barack Obama called ISIS the JV team. Well, I think they wanted to prove they were on the varsity, and that's why they stepped up their attacks around the world. And so it does matter what you call them. It does matter the terms you talk about the enemy of freedom in.
Laurel, by the way, on Facebook, we have a lot of viewers that watch us on Facebook, thousands. Thank you, Congressman, is what she said, for speaking the truth. And I know that goes for a lot of us. Congressman, thanks for being with us. I appreciate you taking the stand on this and calling for this. I don't think we should let this go. I think we've got to continue to stay on top of this. What Loretta Lynch said was outrageous. What she did with the redacting of the transcript was outrageous as well. And I think this political correctness is very, very troubling. By the way, we're filing a Freedom of Information Act request to find out who edited out the references to ISIS on the Orlando 911 transcript. And the ACLJ is working on that. But Congressman, thanks for being with us, and thanks for the stand you're taking.
Absolutely, Jay. Thanks so much. God bless you.
Thank you. Congressman Jeff Duncan from South Carolina. And, Than, let me go right up to you on this. Congressman made a couple of important points. There, by the way, on we're going to get this audio right now. When Loretta Lynch is asked about who edited the transcript, she doesn't want to respond. We're going to make sure we pull that audio down. We hope to have that in the next segment. But go ahead, Than.
Well, I think it's great to hear from Congressman Duncan. I would just give our listeners and our viewers a quick peek behind the scenes. Congressman Duncan and his staff are really at the center of this debate on how Congress can step into this role, Jay. We've talked on this broadcast a lot about how you don't want to go in and water down the president's authority that he has that were given to him after the attacks of 9/11. But there may be a need for Congress to step in and formally declare war. And I can tell you that Congressman Duncan and his staff are at the center of trying to figure out exactly how that works. So it's great that they were able to hear from him. And quite honestly, he is right, though. The biggest thing that we need is a commander-in-chief that takes this fight seriously and that realizes that identifying your enemy is actually a prerequisite to a strategy rather than a strategy unto itself.
We're going to find out. I've asked Ben Cisney, a senior counsel for the ACLJ in our office in D.C., to get a Freedom of Information Act request out immediately to the Department of Justice. I want to know who authorized the edit of this. I want to know why is this thinking. Even though there's only 6 months left of this presidency, it could be six very difficult months. So we got to be really clear. Let's go to Pam, who's calling from Macon, Georgia. Hey, Pam.
Hey, Jay.
Hi.
I just wanted to know if you knew this or not. Is the judge that the court sent this back to, isn't he the same judge that signed the DOJ lawyers the ethic courses for 5 years?
Yeah, that is the trial court judge in that case did that because they basically DOJ lawyers misrepresented facts to the court. So he took it seriously and demanded an ethics review. He could have been much tougher, actually, if he wanted to be. I thought he was aggravated. There's been a lot of concern about the way this case has been handled, and that's been part of it. So that was a great call. Hey, we're going to do a quick round here. So the last segment of the broadcast is already coming up, which is hard to believe, but here we are. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We'll take your calls. So get your calls in again, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, for those watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends right now. Let's get more people involved in the conversation. Thousands of you are on. We want to even increase that as well. And again, breaking news, major victory at the Supreme Court of the United States. President Obama's executive action on immigration, his overreach, declared unconstitutional. Fifth Circuit opinion stays in effect. And we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Got a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. His administration has failed to protect us. ISIS is at war with us. We must wage war against ISIS. At the ACLJ, we've developed a critical five-point strategy to defeat and destroy this jihadist enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. 1. Name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. 2. Fix our broken intelligence. 3. Ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. 4. Declare war on ISIS. And 5. Unleash full U.S. military might to utterly destroy ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
You know, we've got a Freedom of Information Act request going out to the Department of Justice, on the whole issue of the changing or editing of the 911 call out of Orlando. Catherine Herridge, our friend from Fox News, been on this broadcast several times, brought this question up to Loretta Lynch. Take a listen.
Where did the idea originate? Was it yourself, the FBI director, or with the locals?
I'm not going to go into the details of the process behind it. Our view was not to, as I said, further spread the propaganda, but once it became a distraction, we released the full transcript, and so you have that now.
Except they didn't include the words Allah Akbar, which is actually the words he actually said. All right, we're going to go. This is a round we do quickly, so means make your questions concise. We're going to go in the order that you called. Brandon is calling from Fort Worth, Texas. Brandon, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling to ask, based on me being from Texas,
yes, sir,
where there is a heavy immigration population,
yep,
here, do you believe states will step up their deportations, or do you believe Obama will try to
find
a loophole
to
block
that? Well, the states can't do the deportations. That is, the federal government does that. But the states intervened in this case, Sam, because they wanted their position heard and intervened and brought the case, and were successful. Obviously, we're all successful in the conclusion of it.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not sure the feds will increase deportations,
yeah,
but I will tell you this, Jay. It will reduce the magnet for additional people to come across and be here illegally present. That was really one of the points from the very beginning, is you don't want to increase that attraction for more illegal crossings unless you can first secure that border.
So I think the end result is, like I said, a positive decision, but I don't expect the president to increase anything, but it's at least not going to increase the magnet as Stan said. Adam's calling from Newark, Delaware. Hi, Adam, on line 6.
Good day. I enjoy the show. I find it really informative.
Great,
my question is, I've noticed that you've stopped calling the terrorists radical,
yep,
Islamist, and now,
yep,
calling them jihadists.
Yep.
Why are you shying away from radical Islamists?
Oh, because I think jihadists is who they are. I mean, they are radical Islamists in their philosophy, but they are jihadists in their actions. They are operating like a military. So these are jihadis. I mean, these are armed soldiers of Islam, in that sense. That's what a jihadist is. So the common definition of a jihadist is basically is the soldier, and they're on this jihad. Now they'll try to say, well, you know, jihads can also be personal spiritual cleansing, but everybody knows what we're talking about here, including the terrorists. But they are Islamic radicals in the sense that they have this view of Islam, but they are jihadis in what they are doing. So that's why I've made that switch, and that's why we continue to make that switch as well. We're going to take some more calls. We're going to go to Donna, who is calling from California on line 2. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for your,
sure,
important work. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, my pleasure.
I wondered how and when immigration laws have changed since all my 4 grandparents came with a destination, with money in their pocket, with a will to work, and they responded when somebody asked for, can you do this job? They had to be physically able,
right,
and not diseased. They had the,
yep,
no police records. When did,
yep,
all this change?
Really, in the 70s and 80s. I mean, it's been that my grandparents came through Ellis. Where did your parents come in? Grandparents come in. Where were they coming from, Donna?
Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
To Ellis Island.
Same thing. Mine were from Russia and Poland. But it really, I mean, Ellis Island, that really stopped being utilized as a port of entry in the late 20s, early 30s. But the laws really changed radically in the last decades. But then remember, this is illegal immigration. And that's what we got to stress. They don't use Ellis Island anymore, but there's a process for legal immigration. And this is the great problem here is that this is illegal immigration.
Well, that's exactly right. And a lot of the proponents of the president's executive order, Jay, will point to the 1986 change, which was one of the most recent ones passed by a Democrat Congress, enforced by two Republican presidents, as rationale for what the president did here. There's only one difference. Congress passed a law to change the immigration laws in that place. And in this case, the president just moved forward on his own. So it's a very different scenario, whether you support those changes or you don't.
Yep. Let me go to George, who's calling in Massachusetts online, or maybe Maine, on line five. Hey, George. Massachusetts,
you're on. Jay.
Yep.
Appreciate the show. This is a very hot topic, very important.
Yep.
I'm wondering how this is going to affect the election process going forward, you know?
Well, you've got the unique situation where you know you have a Supreme Court vacancy, so you're not guessing is there a Supreme Court vacancy. There is a Supreme Court vacancy. So if Justice Scalia had not passed, we would have won this 5-4, which would have even had more precedent, a longer-term precedent in that sense. But again, I'm not complaining. As Stan said, but a 4-4 win is a win. So we take that. But look, I think the Supreme Court elections are a big part of this election, Republican or Democrat, however your views are. The Supreme Court matters, and that became very clear in this case. Patricia's calling from Castle Rock, Colorado. Hey, Patricia, go ahead.
Hi. Well, on Loretta Lynch's comment about treating the terrorist, might she want to go out in front of a rabid animal and try treating them with love and compassion?
Right. Not going to work out too well. But, Patricia, I want you to listen to this. This is from our friend Canon Andrew Wright, the vicar of Baghdad. In dealing with ISIS, I asked him that question, but listen to what he said.
I am a great believer in meeting with enemies. I meet with bad people all the time. I call them the bad guys.
Yep.
And I invited the bad guys from ISIS to come and have lunch with me. And they said, if we come to you, we'll kill you. So they didn't come. You can't engage. These people are so evil. These terrorists are so extreme that it's impossible to engage with them.
I mean, there you have it. I mean, that is from Canon Andrew Wright, the vicar of Baghdad for the Anglican Church out of England, who has negotiated incredible hostage situations. I've been with him when he's talked about and worked on projects with him. No one can shy and say for any moment that he does not a guy that doesn't believe in love and compassion. But you heard what he said. If they told us, if we come to you, we will kill you. So you can't win this with love. Now, the repercussions of this, Stan, with just 2 minutes left to go here, on Loretta Lynch. And I didn't even get into the whole topic on the refugee situation. We'll save that for tomorrow. But on Loretta Lynch, we're going to do the FOIA request. What are the fallout ramifications here?
I think the calls for her resignation are going to increase. I don't know if the president will heed them. I don't know if the attorney general will heed them. But, Jay, the most important role of the commander-in-chief, for the president of the United States, is to be the commander-in-chief. And for the attorney general to undermine that is a very significant wrong. I would say this. The one good news here is an increasing number of the president's people, the people that have seen the data, the people who are engaging this fight and actually carrying out this war, they are increasingly abandoning the president on this. So I think the attorney general is one of the few that remains with the president. And quite frankly, I think her stature in Washington, D.C. has taken quite a hit because of those comments.
Well, frankly, it's because it should have taken quite a hit. Let me say this also. I'm going to talk about this on the broadcast tomorrow. This refugee situation is serious. We believe in in-country aid, in-region aid, as we call it. But the fact of the matter is, there is a situation. A report just came out. Jeff Sessions and our friend Senator Ted Cruz have both put this forward. 580 convictions since 9/11 on terror-related charges. 380 of those were foreign-born, so they were foreigners in the United States. At least 24 were initially admitted to the United States as refugees, and at least 33 had overstayed their visas. And additionally, 131 additional individuals have been implicated in terrorism since early 2014. These haven't been convicted, and there are newer cases. At least 54 of these individuals are foreign-born. 16 of them initially admitted to the United States as refugees. So when the Department of Justice head, the FBI head, says we can't verify who's there, and the CIA director says they're going to use the refugee routes as a way to infiltrate, I'm going to take their words for it. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget, sign that petition for defeating ISIS at ACLJ.org and support our work at the ACLJ. You can do that by just making a donation at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Islamic State, ISIS, wants to destroy America and eradicate Christianity. Jihadists pledging allegiance to ISIS and radical Islam have attacked America, slaughtering dozens of Americans in multiple terrorist attacks. President Obama refuses to acknowledge the enemy. We have five key steps to defeat ISIS. Stand with us. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.